morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mike Wood is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. He joins us by phone this morning. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good to have you. Anything happened in the last day or two that we don't already know about?
Yeah, I've got to tell you about an incident with a train that happened a couple of nights ago on Caradona near Blunt Street. We had a couple of officers, they're heroes. That's what they are. They saved the life of a man that was hit by a train, the engine, and then by an additional three or four cars. When they got there, they crawled up underneath that train and pulled him out. He was bleeding profusely, and they applied a tourniquet and stabilized him and saved his life. The officer was Officer Hendrick Martinez and Officer Brandon Argent that did that. So, hats off to them. That's good work. That's not something that we see every day, and they did a fine job.
Well, kudos to them. I mean, that's obviously going to be, I assume it'll be a life-saving award for the both of them. But golly, I saw when your text came in about this and about them recovering some parts of his arm, basically, that had been, you know, pulled. And just, it's a gruesome thing to imagine. I guess this is the kind of thing that you train for under the worst of circumstances, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty bad situation. His arm was severed. He was going to bleed out. There's no doubt about that. The officers now, the patrol officers, do carry tourniquets on their duty belt, and they're trained in how to use them. They wasted no time in doing that, so his life was saved. So, it's something spectacular for sure.
And they had to get him from under the train, right?
Yes, they were able to get him from under the train before they started to stabilize him. And they did that.
Wow. Wow. Well, again, our hats off. That's outstanding that they were able to save his life. That's really fantastic. I almost hate to ask, but do we know, like, was it an accident? Because saving a life is always a good thing, but do we know anything about the circumstances yet?
I'm not for sure about the circumstances. I understand that the individual was on the tracks, and why he was on the tracks, I'm not 100% sure of.
Okay.
But that's the information that we got. And usually when something like that happens, it's, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a fatal incident. And these officers were able to respond quickly enough to keep that from happening.
Well, again, that is really good news and a testimony to the training that y'all go through. We also saw this week the story about the I guess it's a battery, a simple battery case of that's been charged with this guy who took the mask off of the other protester. There's a little bit of shoving and pushing at the rally related to the President Trump and the election. Maybe it's just a good point, because I always like to bring you on to clarify things. Can you maybe just clarify why this would be a battery case?
Well, because you just can't put your hands on somebody. And when his hands made contact with the mask on her face, that is contact. And it's simple battery, and that's all the charge is. And, we're hoping, sometimes your emotions get the best of people. That doesn't mean that they're bad people at all. I know that I've been in situations like that, and, a minute or two later, you're going, man, I wish I hadn't done that. And, it's not something that's habitual. It's not the way people are, but sometimes emotions get the best of us.
Yeah, and I thought your answer on that when you were talking to, I think it was Channel 3, about how, people do things they regret, but it doesn't make them not illegal just because you regret them. Hey, I wanted to ask you, there's been a little bit of a news development with regards to Governor DeSantis and what he would like to see happen in terms of a law that he proposed back in September for combating riots, and there's a whole bunch of provisions. I won't go into all the details, but the Miami Herald is reporting that one of the provisions would redefine to include as a forcible felony somebody who is damaging property or interfering with the operation of a business within 500 feet of basically an unlawful protest. And so that to me means that it would put basically you'd be allowed to use deadly force to prevent somebody from that, because if it is the active commission of a forcible felony, even if it's only against property, the operation of a business, that's how I understand the state law. Do I understand that correctly?
Well, if it becomes state law, we're going to have to deal with it then. There are a lot of questions in what you just described that I would certainly have as far as using deadly force for property goes. Breaking out a window is one thing, but setting fire to a structure or using an explosive device at a structure is totally different. So,
right.
There's a lot of questions that have to be answered there. And once it becomes law, then it is. But, yeah, just a lot of questions there.
And I guess it raises – just I want to make sure that I understand this properly. As I was reading through the statute, there's this distinction. Activities that would justify the use of deadly force, like threatening, you know, grievous bodily harm or the life of a person, that obviously justifies use of deadly force. But you're justified in using non-deadly force at a lower level of misbehavior, which could also include damaging property or obviously, threatening or actively battering somebody. Is that right?
Yeah, part of our job is not only to protect people, but property as well. And, you've got to be able to quell those disturbances before they do turn into riots. The people that are the aggressors in those situations, you sometimes have to use force to stop them. And hopefully they'll leave on their own. But if they don't, then you have to go in there with non-lethal measures if they're damaging just property. And that's the way the law is now. And that's what would happen if something like that was to happen here. Fortunately, it has not.
Yeah. And just as, you officers are justified in doing that, even the private individual is justified in using lower levels of force to protect themselves, just not deadly force against those things. And that's the part that was a little bit new to me. I mean, I guess I understood that, but I hadn't really seen that before. Hey, last thing for you, Mike, that I wanted to ask you about. We kind of started this thing of the myths of policing. You know, when you watch TVs and movies, they often do things. I know in my industry, if it's ever about teaching or radio, it's going to be false, because it just is. I know that. I know for policing, the same thing. Do you have a portrayal of some element of policing that shows up in movies or TVs that you just want to tell people that's just not the way it is?
This just popped into my head, and it's not necessarily in movies and TV this time, Andrew. It's a law that used to be on the books that was taken away from us and is now back on the books. If an officer can hear music coming from your vehicle further than 25 feet away, it used to be that we could no longer write tickets for that. They could sit next to our cruiser in traffic with loud music. It's back.
Huh.
We can now enforce that law. We can now write tickets for that. Not only that, but if someone modifies the exhaust system on their motorcycle or their vehicle, their car, to make it louder, we can now write tickets for that as well.
Interesting. So, yeah, because noise complaints are ones that you probably get all the time. People don't hear about these because they're not quite rising to the level of being, news. But I know, that's something that you hear all the time complaints about, and it's tough to do anything. But you're saying it is back on the books now that loud exhausts and or loud music from the car are both things you can write tickets for again.
Yeah, that's right. And we're downtown now on Friday and Saturday nights enforcing that. There's two officers that do nothing but that. I got to do it last Friday night, and we were pretty busy. A lot of people weren't aware of that new law, so we want to let them know that it's back, and to keep the music down. It's not only a nuisance, but it's a safety issue. If you have loud music in your car, there's virtually no way that you can hear the sirens of an emergency vehicle approaching,
right?
And that could be a real problem.
Very good. And are you at this point actually writing tickets, or are you giving warnings, or because I know you all try to educate before you punish, but where are you at on that?
Well, we do both. If you stop somebody and you warn them, and then as soon as you turn the lights off and they pull off and they turn the music back up, it's ticket time.
Well, I can't fault you for that one. I agree. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, thanks so much for the time, and thanks for keeping us safe. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Andrew.